Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memra by Ram Golder and Dinim Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Gimel, the fifth parak Socha as a Poel. The Zichu Masechta Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a brayse in the previous daf taught that if one gave an animal to a zoner for payment before having relations with her, the eslan is permitted as a carbon. The Gemara says that once they have relations, the prohibition of esnan should take effect on it retroactively since it was given as payment for the subsequent relations and it should be disqualified. Rabbi Lezer answered, Kushakadma, the cases where she preempted the relations and brought it as a carbon beforehand, and it no longer existed at the time of relations. The Gemara asks what the case is. If he told her to acquire the animal immediately before relations, it's obvious the carbon is valid, although it was given on condition of relations, since it was sacrificed beforehand, it was a matana ba'alma, a mere gift then. If not, the animal did not yet belong to her, and she could not bring it as a carbon. The Gemara concludes that he told her, let the animal remain with you until the relations to acquire it then. But if you need it earlier, acquire it from now. Because he allowed her to acquire it earlier, the carbon is valid. Point number two, the Bryce on the previous daf taught that if he gave an animal as payment after relations, it's also valid as a carbon. This contradicts a brisa which states that even if he only gave it 3 years later, the esnan is prohibited as a carbon. Rav Chisda answered that an esnan is disqualified if he said, he's ba'ali bitlazeh, have relations with me for this lamb. Since he designated it, it's an esnan even if he gave it afterwards. If he said, have relations with me for a lamb, without designating a specific lamb, it's a valid carbon because she does not acquire anything until she receives it after the relations, and it's not considered payment for relations. The Gemara wonders how she acquires a designated lamb at the moment of relations, since a kinyan of meshicha is required. It first answers that the zone is a Gentile who acquires with money or payment without meshicha, so the relations themselves acquire the animal. Alternatively, the zona is a Jew, and the animal is in her chatzir, and she acquires it without meshicha. And point number three, on the previous daf, Rabbi Yochanan said that if one borrows Shemitah produce and later repays with eighth-year produce after consuming the borrowed produce, it's not considered an exchange for Shemitah produce. Rav Sheshis challenges this from a brayse which teaches that although one may pay his workers without concern that they'll buy Shemitah or Maaser produce with it, but if he told them, Tzu v'ichu v'ani porea, go out and eat, and I'll pay for it as your wages, he does have to be concerned they may purchase forbidden food. This proves that when he later pays the Mei Isser Kapara, he's paying forbidden money, meaning the money paid is considered an exchange for Shemitah produce and therefore cannot be given to an Amaard storekeeper. Here too, the repayment should be considered an exchange of Shemitah produce. Rava explains that although a borrower has an obligation to the lender, since he did not designate specific produce to repay the obligation, the eventual payment is not an exchange for the Shemitah produce. Regarding the workers, Rav explains that the employer gave the storekeeper a dinar beforehand, so it's an exchange of the Shemitah produce he later gives them. Ravashi interprets the brisa differently. So once again, the three points are, number one, a brayse in the previous daf taught that if one gave an animal to a zona for payment before having relations with her, the esnan is permitted as a carbon. The Gemara says that once they have relations, the prohibition of esnan should take effect on it retroactively since it was given as payment for the subsequent relations and it should be disqualified. Rabbi Lezer answered, Kushakadma, the cases where she preempted the relations and brought it as a carbon beforehand, and it no longer existed at the time of relations. The Gemara asks what the case is. If he told her to acquire the animal immediately before relations, it's obvious the carbon is valid, although it was given on condition of relations, since it was sacrificed beforehand, it was a matana ba'alma, a mere gift then. If not, the animal did not yet belong to her, and she could not bring it as a carbon. The Gemara concludes that he told her, let the animal remain with you until the relations to acquire it then. But if you need it earlier, acquire it from now. Because he allowed her to acquire it earlier, the carbon is valid. Point number two, the brayse on the previous daf taught that if he gave an animal as payment after relations, it's also valid as a carbon. This contradicts a brayse which states that even if he only gave it 3 years later, the esnan is prohibited as a carbon. Rav Chisda answered that an esnan is disqualified if he said, he's ba'ali bitlazeh, have relations with me for this lamb. Since he designated it, it's an esnan even if he gave it afterwards. If he said, have relations with me for a lamb, without designating a specific lamb, it's a valid carbon because she does not acquire anything until she receives it after the relations, and it's not considered payment for relations. The Gemara wonders how she acquires a designated lamb at the moment of relations, since a kinyan of meshicha is required. It first answers that the zonah is a Gentile who acquires with money or payment without meshicha, so the relations themselves acquire the animal. Alternatively, the zonah is a Jew and the animal is in her chatzir and she acquires it without meshicha. And point number three, on the previous daf, Rabbi Yochanan said that if one borrows Shemitah produce and later repays with eighth-year produce after consuming the borrowed produce, it's not considered an exchange for Shemitah produce. Rav Sheshes challenges this from a brice which teaches that although one may pay his workers without concern that they'll buy Shemitah or Maisa produce with it, but if he told them, Tzu v'ichu v'ani porea, go out and eat, and I'll pay for it as your wages, he does have to be concerned they may purchase forbidden food. This proves that when he later pays the Mei Isser Kapara, he's paying forbidden money, meaning the money paid is considered an exchange for Shemitah produce and therefore cannot be given to an Amaard storekeeper. Here too, the repayment should be considered an exchange of Shemitah produce. Rava explains that although a borrower has an obligation to the lender, since he did not designate specific produce to repay the obligation, the eventual payment is not in exchange for the Shemitah produce. Regarding the workers, Rav explains that the employer gave the storekeeper a dinner beforehand, so it's an exchange of the Shemitah produce he later gives them. Ravashi interprets the brisa differently. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Samech Gimel, and our standard Siman is a segue. A segue, which is the two-wheel device that boys ride around the neighborhood on. So segue is a Siman, so here goes. The Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Esnan on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon. Pass a shop where the employer was telling his employees to go out and eat, and he'll pay for it as their wages, while his rabbi told him he should be concerned they may purchase Shemitah produce. So once again, in slow motion, the Esnan sent early on a segue. Segue? That must mean we're on Daf Samech Gimel. The Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, which reminds us the Gemara discusses an Esnan given before relations where it's permitted as a carbon. So the Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Esnan on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon, which reminds us, a brisa states that even if one only gave an Esnan 3 years later, the Esnan is prohibited as a carbon. Rav Chista explained that an Esnan is disqualified if he said, have relations with me for this lamb. Since he designated it, it's an Esnan even if he gave it afterwards. If he said, have relations with me for a lamb, without designating a specific lamb, it's a valid carbon because she does not acquire anything until she receives it after the relations, and it's not considered payment for relations. So the Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Esnan on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon. Pass a shop where the employer was telling his employees to go out and eat, and they will pay for it as their wages, while his rabbi told him he should be concerned they may purchase Shemitah produce, which reminds us. Abraisa teaches that although one may pay his workers without concern, they'll buy Shemitah or Maisa produce with it, if he told them, go out and eat, and I'll pay for it as your wages, he does have to be concerned they may purchase forbidden food. This proves that when he later pays the Mei Isser Kapara, he's paying forbidden money, meaning the money paid is considered an exchange for Shemitah produce, and therefore cannot be given to an Amaard storekeeper. So once again, the Esnan sent early on a segue with a note, if you need it earlier to be used as a carbon, acquire it from now, followed by another Esnan on a segue with a note, sorry, it's 3 years late, and prohibit it as a carbon. Pass a shop where the employer was telling his employees to go out and eat, and he'll pay for it as their wages, while his rabbi told him he should be concerned they may purchase Shemitah produce. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach chazara. Daf Nun Tes, so the Siman Daf Nun Tes is a knight in shining armor. So here goes. The Yid who hired one knight, that must be on Daf Nun Tes, knight in shining armor. The Yid who hired one knight in shining armor to stop idolaters from carrying grapes to the wine press, which reminds us, Rav Kahana was asked, may an idolater bring grapes to the wine press? Tosafos explains that after bringing the grapes to the wine press, the transporter empties the grapes into the treading basin, which contains flowing wine. He replied, Usher is forbidden, Mishum Lech Lech Amru Nazir, because of the principle of, we tell the Nazir, go away, go away, Schor Schor L'Karmel L'Tikrav, go around, do not approach the vineyard. So the Yidu hired one knight in shining armor to stop idolaters from carrying grapes to the wine press, and another knight to collect payment from the goy who made the Jews' wine, Yain Nesek, which reminds us, Rav Ashi ruled that if an Akum pours a Jew's wine as a libation, prohibiting it in any benefit, although he can't sell it to another idolater, it's mutter to collect its value from the Akum who prohibited it. He explained, Mikkel Kalye, the Akum essentially burned the wine, thus he's not selling him Yain Nesek, but collecting payment for permitted wine that the Akum destroyed. So the Yidu hired one knight in shining armor to stop idolaters from carrying grapes to the wine press, and another knight to collect payment from the goy who made the Jews' wine, Yain Nesek, was upset when a third knight stuck his armored hand into a wine barrel opening to stop the wine from flowing out, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident in which the spigot of a wine barrel fell out, and an Akum jumped forward and placed his hand in the opening to stop the wine from flowing out. Rav Papa ruled all the wine which is by the spigot, meaning the opening, is forbidden, v'idach shari, and the rest of the wine in the barrel is permitted even for drinking. This wine is not considered one unit with the wine in the opening, so the Akum is not viewed as having touched the rest of the wine. The Gemara presents another version for Rav Papa. Daf Samach, so the Simmer Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The Yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it. Smiley face sticker? That must be on Daf Samach. The Yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it, which reminds us, Rav Papa said that if an Akum is carrying Zika, a tied leather flask of wine, and Yisrael is walking behind him, then Mal Yashare, if the flask is full, it's permitted to Lemakarkesh, because he cannot agitate the wine by shaking the flask, so there's no concern of Nisach. However, Chasira Asir Dilma Makarkesh, if it's lacking, meaning it's not completely filled, it's prohibited because perhaps he might agitate the wine for Nisach by shaking the flask. So the Yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it. Notice that next to where an idolater wearing a mutter smiley face shirt was crushing grapes with koach kocho, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses an Akum pressing grapes bekocho or bekoach kocho, where he crushed the grapes with the force of his force, meaning he turned the screw which lowers the beam onto the grapes. So the Yid walking behind an idolater carrying a full flask of wine that had a mutter smiley face sticker on it. Notice that next to where an idolater wearing a mutter smiley face shirt was crushing grapes with koach kocho, an Akum had fallen into a Jew's wine pit, arose, which reminds us, if an Akum fell into a wine pit and arose, thereby directly touching the wine, but unintentionally, or he measured it with a reed or struck away a hornet with a reed where, although he intended to touch it, he did so indirectly and for a specific purpose, or was tapping the top of a foaming barrel where he touched it directly, but not in the manner of Nisach, incidents occurred with all these cases, and the rabbis ruled that the wine is sold to idolaters. Daf Samachov, so the Simmer Daf Samachov is a psalm. We often use a magician doing the saw a person in half trick. So here goes. The magician who had a side business to produce an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and use his magician saw, that must be on Daf Samach Aleph. The magician who had a side business to produce an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and use his magician saw to make an opening to the Rishus HaRabim, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamatari Yeno Sha'ovd Kochavim, if a Jew produces an idolater's wine impurity, meaning as kosher wine which he would sell to other Jews and pay the Akum afterwards, but knows the Rishuso, and he places it in the Akum's domain, in a house which opens into Rishus HaRabim, then if it's in a city in which both Jews and idolaters reside, the wine is permitted. The Akum is afraid to touch the wine since he may be caught and lose his profit in producing this kosher wine. So the magician who had a side business produce an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and use his magician's saw to make an opening to Rishus HaRabim and kept his own wine in a house he rented in an idolater's chatzer where another Jew resided who didn't have the key, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that whether one buys or rents a house in an idolater's chatzer and filled it with wine, if a Jew resides in the chatzer, the wine is permitted even though there's no key or seal in the Jew's hand because the Akum is afraid to enter the house to touch the wine. If a Jew lives in a different chatzer, but not in the chatzer where the wine is stored, the wine is still permitted, but only if the Jew has a key or seal. So the magician who had a side business produced an idolater's wine to sell to Jews and used his magician sought to make an opening to the Rishus HaRabim and kept his own wine in a house he rented in an idolater's chatzer where another Jew resided who didn't have the key, wouldn't store wine with an Akum who wasn't the owner of the wine he produced because Chayshin and Legomlin, which reminds us they wanted to discuss the storing wine with a different Akum who's not the owner, and whether a Chayshin and Legomlin were concerned about reciprocal agreements that this Akum will allow the owner to touch the wine, who will return the favor when the roles are reversed. Daf Samach Beis. So the Simran Daf Samach Beis is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine captain, submarine? That must be more on Daf Samach Beis. The submarine captain was forbidden to use the money given to him for transporting Yain Nesach, which reminds us, the fifth parak begins, Asoch es apol lasos imo b'yain nesach. If an idolater hires a worker to work for him with Yain Nesach, for example, to transport it, scharo aser, the wages are aser b'hana. The Gemara asks why the wages are prohibited, and Rabbi Yochanan explains, Knasu shekansu chachamim b'chamarim b'yain nesach. It's a penalty with which the sages penalize donkey drivers transporting Shemitah produce and those who work with Yain Nesach. So the submarine captain, who was forbidden to use the money given to him for transporting Yain Nesach, and told to burn the wheat paid to him for transporting Stam Yenim and bury the ashes, which reminds us, Rav Chista instructed one to burn the wheat and bury the ashes in a cemetery that he was paid for working with Stam Yenim, proving that such schar is aser b'hana. The Gemara explains that he could not scatter the wheat since people would come to benefit from it, nor could he burn it and scatter the ashes since it may provide benefit as fertilizer. Burying it without burning it carries the risk that someone discovering it may think it was stolen wheat and not aser b'hana. So the submarine captain, who was forbidden to use the money given to him for transporting Yain Nesach and told to burn the wheat paid to him for transporting Stam Yenim and bury the ashes, borrowed Shemitah produce from Anim to pay them back in the eighth year, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that the people of Rabbi Yanai's household borrowed Shemitah produce from the poor during Shemitah, uparuhu b'shminis, and repay them during the eighth year with ordinary produce. Rabbi Yochanan told them, Yaosen Abdin, they're acting properly and the repayment does not have Shemitah status. Rashi explains that since the Shemitah produce was consumed before the payment was made, it's not considered an exchange of the Shemitah produce. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do you know that wages for working with the Yain Nesach, for example, transporting it, are prohibited? That's on Daf Samach Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you know that was mutter for people to borrow Shemitah produce and repay with eighth year produce? That's on Daf Samach Beis. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you discuss paying employees through a storekeeper selling possibly Shemitah produce? That's on Daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss the incident of the Akum who agitated wine with his hand? That's on Daf Nun Zion. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn that we do not permit an idolater to bring grapes to the wine press? That's on Daf Nun Tes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss what the din is when an Akum dilutes wine with water? That's on Daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn when an eson given after relations is disqualified? That's on Daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that slaves purchased from an idolater still make the wine they touch into Yain Nesach until the mention of idolatry disappears from their mouths? That's on Daf Nun Zion. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn when an eson given before relations is permitted? That's on Daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss the case of an Akum who was mistakenly asked to pour wine for two Rabbanim? That's on Daf Nun Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.